KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
I'm Tom.
And I'm Grace Ann Smith. It's not just oil spills that threaten our rivers and streams. Officials with the Oregon Department of Agriculture say Tillamook Bay is temporarily closed due to a massive spill of liquid manure. Wim Matthews, manager of the AG Department's confined animal feed operation, known as CAFO, says the estimated 190,000 gallons of manure that went into the bay came from the Tony Silvera dairy after the valve on an above-ground storage tank broke. The liquid manure traveled through three other properties before it reached a drain, which dumps into the Tillamook River. From that point, it flows into the bay. The Tillamook County Health Department also closed the bay to recreational shellfish and harvesting. Under CAFO regulations, discharges may be subject to fines and other penalties.
As the saying goes, one man's garbage is another man's treasure. The Portland Bureau of Environmental Protection is taking this statement to heart by releasing a plan to turn the methane produced from human solid waste into clean gas. This project is projected to earn the city around $3 million to $10 million in funds and provide enough gas to run 154 garbage trucks for a year. The BES awarded Northwest Natural Gas a $2.9 million contract to install and operate a fueling station and to distribute the fuel to potential buyers. The plan that was unanimously approved by the Bureau's board and is slated to be in full swing by the end of 2018 with a price tag of around $9 million for the new facility. A lot of the methane gas produced is currently used to run electricity on site, and about 23% of the methane is burned off. This would essentially be closing off the waste loop.
Spring is in the air, along with a renewed interest in old ways of growing things. Permaculture is the technique of planting things that grow slow but yield big and for longer periods of time. KBOO's Zelos Marchand spoke with Melissa Melko of Portland Underground Grad School to find out more.
So how long have you been with pugs?
Well, this is the third class I'm teaching with them. I started by teaching a class in the fall about local ecology and botany.
Awesome. Have you been involved with botany long?
Yes, I have been working in the horticulture and landscaping business since I was a teenager. And I've been in Portland for 10 years, and I've been doing landscape design and restoration ecology and teaching about plants and gardening.
That's incredible. Restoration ecology. Can you go into that a little more?
Sure. It's I think of it as earth repair. There's a lot of ecosystem disturbance that humans are continually causing, and a lot of that has resulted in a decline in diversity, and people are hearing a lot about invasive species problems, and there's a lot of ways that we can work with the landscape to try to bring it back to a more diverse and healthy and productive state. So a lot of the restoration ecology work I do in the city is restoring small sites, like maybe people want to create some habitat in their yard. And then I also work in rural areas for landowners and farmers who want to create pollinator habitat or other kinds of restoration work.
Cool. There's been a lot of news coming through our newsroom about permaculture, about better ways that each of us can create a more sustained food environment, even though the cycles might be longer. Does that involve something like that, restorative gardening and botany?
Yeah, permaculture is really the heart of what I do. It's looking at the garden or the landscape as a system that humans are part of. We tend to forget, but we are part of nature. And if we look at how all the different parts of the system are interacting with each other and affecting each other, just seeing that everything is connected and taking that into account when we're making decisions about land use, it can be those types of patterns can be applied to a home garden or a yard or to a bigger city of, a farm or even a city or even a business. So it's a pretty exciting way to think about things.
That is really exciting. One aspect I think people really want to know about permaculture is, you know, how are there varying, is there a varying length of cycles? You know, if they plant something, is it going to render a harvest within a year? You know, I really, you know what I mean? Like, I think a lot of people are interested in it and what that means, but then they go, oh man, I hear that takes like 7 years before like it's sustainable.
Yeah.
What's your advice to people who are a little permaculture shy?
Well, one of the permaculture principles is start small and build on success. And another one of them is get a yield. So you might plant a fruit tree that isn't going to bear fruit for 5, 6, 7 years, but there's lots of things you can do right outside your doorstep right now to start getting a yield. And those are some of the things you should start with. And permaculture is also based on the fact that we need to observe and respond to natural conditions. So while you're observing your site and planning, you can do small things to get a yield. Like, for instance, if you put out some little container plantings with arugula or lettuce seeds right now, in 30 days you will have salad. That's a pretty good turnaround.
And tasty, too. Tasty turnaround.
Well, the main idea is that nature's all around us in the city, and sometimes we don't see all of that greenery, but we can get to know those plants that are around us and how they're functioning in the ecosystem. Some of them might be useful, for instance, medicinal or edible. And so it's really a plant ID class of, like, what is all that green stuff out there? We're going to be learning 12 major plant families. And once you know the patterns of the families, it's a lot easier to start figuring out what different plants are and what their characteristics might be. So, for instance, right now there's a lot of plants that are really showy in the rose family, like all of the cherries and plums, and soon we'll be seeing apple blossoms and pear blossoms. And so that will be one of the plants we look at the first week and identifying what the patterns that show that those things are all related are.
That's neat. Does that involve mushrooming as well? I know that's kicking up into gear this spring, too.
Right. Well, we're focusing mostly on the plant side of things, and we won't be getting too much into the fungus group. But, of course, plants and funguses are very interconnected. They have mutually beneficial relationships, so it might come up.
Oh, it's like symbiotic in a way? Like, if there's one of a plant is growing, then maybe a mushroom will go next to it?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Plants depend on funguses to interface between them and the roots.
Oh.
And everything that's in the soil to get all the water and nutrients that they need.
It works. They're like best friends then.
Yes, they are. Fungi are best friends.
Do you have a favorite plant family, or I think this stems into like what kind of green thumb or what kind of permaculture are you? You have favorites?
Oh gosh, I have a lot of favorites. I love perennial edible plants, things that you can plant and they just keep coming back every year and giving you food for not very much work. The ones that are really well known are rhubarb and asparagus. But I have a lot of other greens in my yard that I grow that are perennial, and then fruit and berries are mostly perennial plants too. And I love our native edibles, like the blue elderberry and the evergreen huckleberry. They're really tasty and medicinal and multifunctional in the landscape. They have something for pollinators, something for birds, and lots for people. So those are the kinds of plants that I like, plants that do a lot of different things.
That's awesome. I feel you. I don't like a lot of sass for my plants. I like it nice and easy.
Sometimes things don't work out and you have to try something different.
Well, thank you so much for making time to talk to me and talk to our audience. And
cool. I appreciate it so much.
You bet. I appreciate it. All right. Well, I'll let you go. You have an awesome afternoon.
You too. Thank you.